This is The Listening Project. I'm Jeff Williams. This week, our story gives us a glimpse of what Southern Illinois was like in the 1960s through the eyes of a young kid.
Support for WSIU comes from Southern Illinois Healthcare Rehab Unlimited, providing outpatient physical, occupational, and speech-language therapies in alliance with the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago. Details at sih.net.
Mark Sturdivant grew up in Christopher, but remembers fondly his visits to the big city of Benton. Mark sat down with fellow Southern Illinois native Jim Muir to recall those days for this edition of The Listening Project.
What's a TV show that comes to your mind as a 10-year-old boy?
Ed Sullivan.
How about Howdy Doody?
Howdy Doody.
Captain Kangaroo.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke. The reruns are still great on Gunsmoke. And then I think the thing that defined our generation more than anything else, though, was everybody our age could almost remember exactly where they were whenever JFK got assassinated. And I know I still, you know, JFK cut a spelling test for me from 100 words down to 25. So JFK got me an A. But that's, you know, I remember the Friday. I remember it being rainy. And, you know, the assassination of his brother, Robert F. Kennedy, as well as Martin Luther King, defined that generation.
You know, Mark, just to back you up just a moment, I remember, too, that when you saw what Kennedy was assassinated on a Friday afternoon, mm-hmm. on a Sunday, just getting out of church, we learned that Lee Harvey Oswald had shot Jack Ruby. And I remember nowadays that wouldn't shock anybody a whole lot. But that in that era, it was like, oh, my gosh.
That's the
how
truth.
Could something like this have happened? And we watched it happen on television. Not a shocker now, but boy, it was a shocker
it
in
was.
1963.
And you always remember that the same way if you'd ask a generation now about 911, where were you when that happened? And let me ask you another question. What's the cheapest gas prices you remember back in 1963?
I got a great, 1963, it had to be in the 20 cents a gallon,
there
I'd say.
There you go. The highest gas prices I remember in Christopher was 26 cents, unless they had a gas war where gas stations were, you know, trying to get the business. And I remember it going to 19 cents.
Okay, since you mentioned the word gas war, I'm a senior in high school in 1970, and I'm working at the Liberty Gas Station in Cessor. And the gas is about 35 cents a gallon at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The owner or the manager of the station called the school and told me to come into work after school that evening because he was going to start a gas war.
Mm-hmm.
Going to drop gas to 24.9 a gallon,
mm-hmm.
quarter a gallon. And me and another guy pumped $435
wow.
worth of gas in an eight-hour shift at these little old one-lung pumps.
Mm-hmm.
No self-service, no customer. Everything was you
right.
pumped your own. I mean, no pumping your own mm-hmm. back then. That's what I'm trying to say. But we gas was $24.9 a gallon. So gas war is a phrase you don't hear anymore.
Don't hear. Yep. But anyway, this takes you to the point of what the situation is. Now, what's a little kid going to do that's 10 years old? A kid in Christopher at 10 years old were only limited by how far their legs could carry them or their bicycle would go. And so we spent, you'd spend a lot of time, you know, riding around Christopher. And this was back at the time whenever they had neighborhood grocery stores, which were fantastic. Because in that neighborhood grocery store, a child's dreams could come true. Grandma would send me there with a quarter. And for a quarter, I could get a 10-cent bottle of soda pop and buy three packages of baseball cards. The soda pop, that was the big choice. But did you go with the small bottle, the Coke, and get the classic taste? Or did you go with the large bottle of colored water, which was a lot more filling but had no taste whatsoever? And after this, you had the three packages of baseball cards. I bet I opened up 100 packages of baseball cards looking for a Mickey Mantle. Never got it. The old baseball cards ended up in the spokes of the wheel, so you could make a loud noise there. And then we had a unique thing in Christopher too. If somebody went to the salvage yard, they got a TV or a antenna that came off a car, and they'd tape this antenna to the back of the bike. And then we had a guy in the neighborhood that was a squirrel hunter, so we'd put our squirrel tail on the back of the antenna and ride around the town. That and the longer the antenna, the cooler you were. And these were some great memories. But if everything came into play, if gas prices were right and everything was going just right, Grant Mom would dream up a trip to the big city. And this big city wasn't St. Louis. This big city was Benton, Illinois. 8 miles down the road. And if you were a 10-year-old kid, you wondered whether you could get there and get back on the same day. I mean, this was a big trip. And so we only made this trip about 4 times a year. And so mom had grandma being the seamstress, she'd cook up either new curtains, a new dress, or to get me a shirt, which I had to wear, since that's all we had anyway. So we would make a trip to Benton, to the big city. And you have to look through this as through a 10-year-old boy. We'd leave Christopher, we'd go through Butner, and just before you hit the big muddy river, you'd see the big bridge. And I'm not talking the bridge, I'm talking the ones with the big steel girders, you know, that were painted silver. And you got to go through this bridge, and it was like crossing the Mississippi River going into St. Louis and seeing the big arch. That was fantastic. Once you crossed under that, you thought, I have arrived. And you went up to the square, and just as soon as you got on to the square, you saw the white courthouse that was in the middle of the square. And you looked over and saw the 6-story wood building. And that wood building was like a skyscraper to the 10-year-old kid. And you look up there and said, could you imagine people being in there and doing business? I said, this is a fantastic thing. You know, coming from Christopher, this was the big city.
And the word I think, too, I remember coming from another small town, Cesar, was bustling. There was so many people around the square, so much different than it is nowadays. I mean, it was just a steady stream of people walking around the square all the time. All the businesses were thriving. It was very unique.
And they had the Capitol Theater, and they had Barton and Collins, where you bought the 45 records. And they had Battle's Grill. Of course, 10-year-old boy wasn't going to make it to Battle's Grill. And unfortunately for mom and grandma that was a seamstress, they had Virgil Centers. I really disliked Virgil Centers. Virgil Centers was a place where you bought clothing and material and buttons and zippers, and that's all it was. The coolest thing about Virgil Centers was it was a basement store. And they had about 12 steps going up and down. I loved to make those steps because that was all a 12-year-old boy had to do unless you wanted to look at material and zippers. But you had to behave yourself, and you couldn't act up because what was coming after. And what was coming after was special, because what was coming after was you got to go to the dime store. Now, this was heaven on earth. Nothing like this in the world. There were two. One was the Ben Franklin. Now the Ben Franklin was all right. But you have to know Christopher had a Ben Franklin. And this Ben Franklin was bigger, but it was a Ben Franklin. But Woolworths, oh, goodness sakes. I think that's one of the places that if I close my eyes, I could still smell. You know, you have those smells, whether they're like a donut place or an old church. You can just smell that. And Woolworths was fantastic. They had toys you'd never seen. They had the big marquee out in front. It was like FAO Schwartz. I think I'm coming across with that right. Anyway, it was great. But then besides all this neat stuff, they had animals. Can you believe having animals there? Can you believe that? That was great, Jim. They had turtles and they had fish. If you went around Easter, you might be able to find ducks and chickens. But the turtles were special. Not that they were anything different. They were about the size of a 50-cent piece. And sometimes they were gray, sometimes they were green. But Mom loved the turtles. So if I was good and Mom was in a good mood and we had a couple extra dollars, we would get to bring home some turtles. And you had to have turtles and turtle food, and you had to have the thing to put them in. Now imagine this. You've got a couple turtles, you've got turtle food, and you've got their cage. The cage was something to behold. It was a plastic circle with a little moat around the end where you put water. And then if you go up this little incline where the turtles could climb, they had a plastic palm tree. All that, if you were a turtle, I mean, you were there. I mean, you got to leave the dime store and spend the rest of your time in a plastic bowl with a palm tree. They only got to spend about 5 days there because they got a soft shell. They died, and Mom buried them in the toilet stool, you know. But that was really, really, you know, really something special. And then after that, you know, times would lead on. There's always Reuben's hamburgers down there, 10 cents a piece. One cheeseburger cost you 15, but you could eat 4 or 5, and for a fat little kid in Christopher, this was fantastic too. And so then we'd all get wound up and put back in the car, and we'd go back across the big muddy bridge, and we'd head back to Christopher. And whenever you got home for about a day and a half, you walked a little taller because you'd been to the big city and you'd lived to tell about it, you know. And I know I mentioned this to you the other night a little bit in speaking, but if I could come up with one song that I could put all that to, it would be a Barbra Streisand song. And the Streisand song is "The Way We Were." And I thought that was a very appropriate song to this because it said, you know, but it's the laughter you will remember, you know. And would we do it all again? Yeah, I'd do it all again. Was it always easy? No, Jim, you know it wasn't always easy. You have a tendency to dismiss the hard times. You have a tendency to look past them, but they're always there. But Barbra Streisand said it best. No, it's the laughter you will remember. It's the fellowship you will remember. It's a time whenever everybody counted, you know. The one thing that I think I would like to give to this new generation that I think our generation had, Jim, and I'd like your input on this, was that I think we've become a Walmart generation. Now, nothing against Walmart. Walmart's a fantastic place, employs a lot of people. But the Walmart mentality, I think, has given people the idea that anything can be thrown away. When you were a little kid, if your TV broke, your dad called a TV repairman. And if you were like me, you'd look out the window, especially if there's something on you want to see, is he ever going to get that tube fixed? You know, I've got to watch this show. You know, and everything was fixable. But now they've got to the point where they throw things away, including people. And that's a sad thing.
You know, I think, too, one thing I got from what your comments were, I think this generation is not nearly as easily as impressed with things as we were. You know, we live in a world now where you have to have a lot of bells and whistles to get people's attention. And back then, we just had to have a bustling square and a lot of people and the big eyes of a young boy. That would certainly make you very aware of your surroundings. And so, yeah, I think a great story and great way to tie it all together, Mark.
Well, I want to be able to thank the radio station. I want to thank you for letting me share it. And I want to thank the good Lord for letting us have that opportunity.
That's Mark Sterneman with Jim Muir as they reminisce about growing up in Southern Illinois. Their story was recorded as part of the 100th anniversary of the Benton Public Library. WSIU's Listening Project chronicles the history of our region by connecting people with place through their stories. You can hear more stories from the Listening Project on our webpage, wsiunews.org. I'm Jeff Williams.